Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. Continuing talks today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, we've been talking about perfection and holiness and standards of Christian behavior. We've spoken of the fact that we can do nothing in ourselves to make ourselves perfect. We cannot become holy by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Right. We have a Savior who has saved us to the uttermost, but we have something to do to prove that we want to belong to that Savior, and that will be to please Him. Just as if I want to prove my love for my husband, certainly one of the things that I do is not kiss him and hug him. I mean, I do that too, but that doesn't prove my love to him more powerfully than my taking care of him in ways that a wife is supposed to take care of a husband.
I think of the verses that say God is at work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And also, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That should give us so much hope and so much joy to know that He is the one working in us to create those good works that we were created for, or to do in us those good works that we were created for before the foundation of the world. I lived for so many years with this fear that if I didn't get it right, my children were going to grow up to be apostate. And I know now that the Lord has helped me to understand His love so that I don't have to act like an orphan. I'm on my own doing this. If I don't get this right, if my husband doesn't get to be a better father and a better husband, we are not going to raise godly children. And of course, that was the great desire of my heart, to have many children and to grow godly children. Now I see God is ultimately responsible. He is helping me to strive for perfection, but I can rest when I fail. I can rest in His perfection of what Jesus did on the cross for me.
Well, Val, you know what you're doing? You're giving me horrifying revelations of what a terrible mother I must have been.
And I don't think of you as a terrible mother at all.
No, you don't. I know you don't think of me as a terrible mother, but our discerning listeners will certainly have picked up the fact that Elizabeth did a poor job of getting across to Val what freedom in Christ is all about. And undoubtedly, because I was so strict and so determined that I was going to have a perfect child and I was going to make you do everything that you ought to do, I really don't feel as though that was my attitude.
No.
But it appears to me now, as I listen to you talk, that that must have been what came across to the poor child. And so no wonder you felt frustrated, because not only did you have God looking down upon you, but you had this exigent mother requiring all sorts of things of you.
Well, let me say something about that, because for many years, I don't think I consciously said, I want the approval of my mother. I want the approval of my mother. But I know that when you came to visit me, I was so worried and fearful that you would not approve of the way I was doing things.
After you got married, you mean?
Yes, after I got married. And so I would appreciate any encouragement you gave me, but was so fearful inside that you didn't completely approve of everything I did. What I'm thankful for is that I think God helped me to see, do I live for the approval of men or do I live for His approval? How much does my reputation matter to me? My reputation in front of church people, because my husband is a pastor, and in front of my mother and those who knew me from the time I was tiny, was far more important to me than the truth that God loved me as His own and that God gave Himself for me. And therefore, I was completely his child and free to run to his throne or to the cross at any moment of the day. And I think I remember the day when Lars, your husband, surprised us on a Sunday afternoon. We didn't know he was coming. Sundays are not a day when I'm real strict about keeping the rooms neat and clean. Of course, that's what I'm striving for 6 days of the week, but we work real hard on Saturday to have everything neat and tidy for Sunday so that we don't have to do any extra work besides cooking the meals and cleaning up the kitchen. So I remember Colleen wanted to show Lars something upstairs in her room, and my heart sank thinking, oh dear, her room's a mess. And even the hallway going to her room was a mess. And I remember my husband was at the bottom of the stairs. I was going up behind Colleen, and Lars was following me. But as I turned the corner and could see my husband's face looking up, I smiled at him because I knew that he and I both thought of the same thing. How much does our reputation matter right now as Lars is going to see this mess upstairs? And I was free enough to not apologize to Lars, to not say, Lars, please forgive us for this mess on Sunday afternoon. You know, I was able to just lead him up the steps and take him to Colleen's room and let him see whatever it was Colleen was excited to show him. But it was our reputation that was, my husband often says, it's our reputation that's at stake. You know, what is it? What's most important to us? Am I pleasing the Lord? Is there love in my heart for my children? And my worry that they weren't going to be obedient all the time. And when I saw my failures in not teaching them obedience all the time, my fear was, what are people going to think of me?
Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are entrusted with a commission, and we owe it entirely to God's mercy. We are no better than pots of clay in order that the power may be God's alone, or the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that passage was illuminated to me when I lived with the Indians. When you and I lived with the Alka Indians, they had clay pots. Well, nobody was interested in the pot. Everybody was interested in what was inside. Mm-hmm. All the clay pots mm-hmm. were the same. They were all made out of the same mud, out of the same river, and they were the same design. But what was inside was what mattered. And what Paul is referring to, which is inside us, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God mm-hmm. in the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. If we can let that be the contents of our lives, it is going to show. It will be evident mm-hmm. to other people.
Mm-hmm. I think of what our assistant pastor says. He says, I am more wicked than I ever imagined, but I am more loved than I ever dared to hope.
That's great, isn't it?
And I'm so thankful that he is at work in every single Christian all over the world to help. He is at work to teach them his love.
Say that again, that what Jack says. The pastor.
I am more wicked than I ever imagined, but I am more loved than I ever dared to hope.
Do you remember the prayer that we used to pray, Almighty and Most Merciful Father?
We have erred and strayed from thy ways
like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, and grant unto us thy mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I remember hearing one lady going out of church after we had said that prayer, and she said, well, she said, I know I'm an offender, but I am not miserable. But think of the mercy of God. We really are miserable offenders.
We are poor and wretched and blind.
But isn't it wonderful that that prayer begins with Almighty and Most Merciful God. Father.
Mm-hmm. Father. H.L. Sidney Lear said, he who thinks much of God will daily think less of himself. And I think
what does that do to our self-image?
I think we have to learn to focus more and more on who God is and less on ourselves. As I just said, I'm more wicked than I ever imagined. If I focused on my wickedness all the time, I could never see the greatness and the love and the purity and righteousness of God.
You'd be in total despair all the time.
I'd be in total despair.
Here's a simple verse which illuminates some things we've been talking about. If a man aims at the honor of him who sent him, he is sincere, and there is nothing false in him. That's from John 7:18. And by the mercy and grace of God, I think we can be honest in saying that you and I are aiming at the honor of the one who sent us. We are sincere. I wish I could say there's nothing false in me, but the more I aim toward the honor of Christ, the less there will be of falsity. And we both need the prayers of our listeners, don't we, Val? I just feel that need so acutely at times, and I'm so very grateful for the many letters that I get from people who tell me that they do pray for me. Some of them say, we pray for you every day.
I am very grateful
and
for that.
And these two voices that you've been listening to today are two women who are still in process, a mother and a daughter, a mother who failed her daughter in 1,000 ways, and yet God is merciful. And I see in you a true heart for God, Val, and I thank Him for that.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.